The words of God given to us today are from Psalm 119, verses 65 to 72. It is found in page 892 of the Old Testament. I will read the words. The earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Do good to your servant according to your word, Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I trust your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Amen. When we talk about the attributes of God, we distinguish between communicable attributes and non-communicable attributes. The non-communicable attributes are those which God, the absolute being, do not share with men. Examples of such non-communicable attributes are the self-existence of God, God existing on his own, immutability of God, the never-changing nature of God, and the infinity of God, there being no limit for God. The communicable attributes of God are those which God, being a personal spiritual being, can be shared with men, such as wisdom, knowledge, truth, goodness, holiness, and righteousness, among many others. Louis Burkhoff, a well-known Reformed theologian, has said that goodness, which is one of God's communicable attributes, overlap with kindness, mercifulness, love, graciousness, and long-suffering, which are other communicable attributes of God. In other words, God is kind and merciful, abounding in love and grace, and long-suffering because God is good. When we say God is good in a different way, in Korean, we say 좋으신 하나님. And the Hebrew word that stands for good or 좋은 in Korean is 톱. The first 톱 in the Bible is found in chapter 1 of Genesis. God created light with his word, and what he said after seeing the light was that light was good. And this word good is tov. And it follows that all things created by God, who is tov, naturally must also be good. The world created by God reveals God's attributes and his glories. And it was created for the sake of men who were created to be good. Therefore, as God rules over his created world, he is good to us, his creatures, without ceasing. The first part of the verse 68 testifies to God of Tov, who is good. You are good and do good. Tov, however, does not only refer to something that is good to see. It is related to the act of salvation that saves a life. After David was anointed by Samuel, he had to be on the run from King Saul until he became king. One day, Saul went to the desert of En-Gedi in pursuit of David. Saul went into a cave there to relieve himself. And David happened to be hiding in the cave. David, although his men urged him to kill King Saul, who had come there to kill David, only cut off a corner of Saul's robe, saying to his men that he could not kill a person who has been anointed by God. And when Saul had gone some distance from David, David called out to Saul to let him know what had happened. The 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 17 tells us that Saul then said, "You are more righteous than I," he said. "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly." That David treated Saul well meant that David spared Saul's life. The word "treated me well" in this verse is a translation of the word "tob." As you can see, an important aspect of tov is saving a person's life. In the first line of today's text, the psalmist confesses that God has been tov, that God has treated him well. This is from verse 65. "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word." That God has treated the psalmist well means that God has spared his life. In the third and the fourth stanza of Psalm 119, the psalmist had prayed to God that God would make him live. Such a prayer tells us that the psalmist was in a situation when he faced death, but was not yet dead. He was able to make a confession of this psalm, although his spirit clung to dirt, and his spirit was about to melt away because of oppression, because God of Tob had preserved his life, and God was Tob to him, meaning God was good to him. God of Tob is kind and merciful, abounding in love and graciousness and long-suffering. It is because of this that we, who are sinners, have not died, but are alive. And the reason that we can continue to live, despite committing sin, is because of God of Tov, who gives us a chance of repentance and waits for us, is good to us. God has made his only Son, Jesus Christ, die and forgave us our sins through his blood and gave us eternal life. Why wouldn't such a God be a Tov to us, treat us well? But the story does not end with God of Tov sparing our lives. God who treats us well gives even greater good to his children chosen by him. It's not that God will give them wealth and honor. But it does mean that God gives us the words of Tob. If so, then how does God give us the words of Tob? But let us first think for a minute. When God gives us his words of Tob, how joyful are we in receiving his words? When you read or hear God's words and meditate on them, how deeply do we feel the goodness of those words? The psalmist loved the words of Tob so much that this is what he says in verse 72. "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." Here, "better to me" is Tob. He didn't speak relatively of God's words and gold and silver, which may have done if he were a wealthy man or were drawn to wealth. The psalmist was somebody who confessed as follows in verse 36 and verse 56. "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain." And again, "this blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts." His confession in verse 72 means that even if someone were to give him tons and tons of money, they could never be better than God's words. If our hearts are full of words of Tob, we become good persons, people of Tob. There is no way that a person who has become a person of Tob will like tons of money. he or she becomes a person who saves the life of another, which is more precious than tons of money. In Luke chapter 10, there is a parable of a good Samaritan. A person who was traveling to Jericho from Jerusalem met a robber. He lost all he had, including his clothes, and was beaten up to the point of being half dead. Without another's help, his life was about to end. Many people saw the man who was beaten and was underground among them. A Samaritan had mercy on him. He treated his wounds, put him on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And when the Samaritan went on his way, he gave his money to the innkeeper to take care of the wounded man until he came back. He said, if more money was needed for the injured man to stay and recover, he would pay the additional expenses on his way back. The Bible teaches us that what the Samaritan man did was merciful. That being merciful is doing good. If the Samaritan was someone who liked tons of money, he would not have been able to act with such goodness. Can we confess, as the psalmist did, that God's words are better to us than thousands of pieces of gold and silver? We can probably mouth after what the psalmist said, or we can hope to become somebody like him. However, in reality, it is not easy to become like him. Then how could the psalmist make such a confession? Until the psalmist was able to make this confession, God of Tob had led him, and the psalmist followed after God's leading. Then how did God lead the psalmist? By teaching him the words of Tob. Let's read all of verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. God, who is good, does good. And as mentioned in verse 65, doing good means, in a larger sense, saving a life. What God does in that process is teaching the words of Tob to his chosen children. If when one learns the words of Tob well, one will not lose one's heart to thousands of money, and he or she will be able to obtain what cannot be bought with such sums of money, judgment and knowledge. This is from verse 68. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. In this verse, the word good, preceding the word judgment, is tov. Now, judgment means discernment. Where do the good discernment and knowledge come from? If there are good discernment and knowledge in this world, how much of them are in this world? These days, don't most of the people want discernment and knowledge in order to become wealthy? But if the goal of nurturing discernment and piling up knowledge is in order to get a lot of money, then they surely cannot be categorized as good. The discernment and knowledge we gain from learning the words of Tob or at a different level from those existing in the world. If one were to accumulate worldly studies and knowledge to have his or her discernment grow, what good would that be if the person remained ignorant of the Creator God and Savior Jesus Christ? Maybe we can enjoy wealth and honor with the discernment and knowledge we gain from the world. But such enjoyment will last only a moment. But the discernment and knowledge that we gain from studying the words of Tob allow us to walk in the good path, walk the good path, the path of life. If so, how does God arrange for us to learn the words of Tob? We can learn the words of Tob through the 66 books of the Bible. But the problem is that we cannot learn them well. It's very difficult to become a good person by reading the Bible on one's own and coming to know it really well. Then, could we learn the words of Tob properly if we were to listen to a sermon daily and consistently attend Bible studies? Of course you can learn about the words, but the problem lies is not understanding the proper meaning of the words. So God calls us to a special school to teach us the words of Tob. This special school is a school of hardship. It is when we learn the words of Tob in the school of hardship that we come to have the true understanding of the words. This is from verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. The psalmist did not live as a decrepit person before he ran into hardship. He was not someone who did not know God. He would have listened to the law and learned them from when he was young, but he could not have a deep understanding of them just by doing that. He could not keep the words of Tob perfectly. He was a person chosen by God, but he did wrong things. This is true also for us. It is when we run into hardships that God allows our eyes to become open to the words of Tob. It is then that our hearts are moved by them, and we come to keep them, and we become good persons. The hardships lead persons who do wrong to become good persons, and therefore God who sends us to a school of hardship is good. It is a paradox. But God of Tob does not give us a comfortable life. He gives us a life of hardship. The psalmist confesses in verse 71 as follows. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. How surprising is the confession that it was good for me to be afflicted. How many times have we thought that when hardships come, they're good for us? People naturally want comfort. And there is no one who likes doing something that one does not like. Hardships come in a variety of ways for each person. For me, it could be a serious illness like cancer, or a crisis with studies, jobs, or business, a crisis in the family, or conflicts in relationships. A person could be a victim of an unanticipated act of crime, like the Samaritan man, or could be involved in some situation or an accident. The reason that these hardships can be good is that we have an opportunity to truly learn God's words. That the psalmist came to learn God's words means that he came to know the God of Tob more deeply. Hardships allow our eyes to become open to God of Tob. Hardships allow us to see the providence of God which lies beyond immediate reality. On October 31st, 1517, Luther nailed 95 theses to the gates of the cathedral at Wittenberg University, and this became the start of the Reformation. After he did this, he ran into a lot of difficulties. On April 18th, 1521, Charles V, the Emperor of the Roman Empire, declared Luther as a heretic at the meeting of Imperial Diet of Worms. and issued a deed that ordered all of his writings be burned and prohibited anyone from giving any support to Luther. The deed said not even a drink could be provided to Luther. It also contained a provision that ordered arrests of Luther and his supporters. After the deed was published, some of Luther's followers were arrested and were put to death. When Luther's life became endangered, Luther's patron, Frederick III, who was well aware of the situation, took matters into his own hands. He arranged for Luther to be kidnapped on his way home by a carriage to Wittenberg to move him to a safe place. The place where Luther was taken to without not having any idea was a Vorburg castle at the top of a mountain. Luther spent about 10 months in hiding at that place. He grew his hair and beard, pretended to be a knight. He even changed his name. The time spent in hiding by Luther was a period of hardship. He suffered from constipation, insomnia, and depression. He was cut off from the world. But these months became the hours during which he came to know God's Obtobe more deeply. Because Luther went through a time of hardship, he was able to fan the Reformation movement even more, supported by the words of Tob. And a deeper knowledge of God of Tob was not limited only to Luther at this time. One of the greatest achievements of Luther during this time was translating the New Testament to German. After this German Bible was published, 18 printings were sold during the first year alone. 85 printings were sold during the 10 years, and 20,000 printings were sold during the 15 years following the initial publication. God of Tob allowed hardships for Luther, made him learn the words of Tob more deeply, and moreover, he allowed the good of the German people, being able to read the words of Tob in their native language rather than in Latin, Hebrew, or Greek. The time of hardship spent by Luther was not wasted in vain. He became the instrument that proclaimed the God of Tob. If you are in the middle of a hardship, then this is the very time to truly learn the words of Tob. And if you are now learning the words of Tob, how should you be living? The text tells us how. This is from verse 69. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. As I said on numerous occasions, an arrogant person is someone who has turned his or her back on the words of God and do not follow them. So if you do not learn the words of Tob, you become an arrogant person. It is only logical that a person who puts distance between himself and the words of Tob can never become a good person. If there is no good inside of a heart, it is easy for the heart to become filled with evil. In this world, lies are having their field day. If you listen to the news these days, it's like watching a game of truth and lies. Everyone claims to be a good person who is without lies, but there's no way that there can be abundance of goodness in a person who is influenced by the values of this world. In a world where physical violence is not permitted, the arrogant persons beat up other people by lies. In the age of internet, lies spread in an instant. There is no room for a person who comes across fake news on the internet to judge between what is true or false or to defend him or herself against it. But even when a person comes to be in danger due to lies, like the psalmist, one might keep the words of Tob completely. The psalmist prayed in verse 68, teach me your decrees so that he can keep the words of Tob even at the knife of lies poised by arrogant persons. Let us do our all in learning the words of Tob and keeping them even when we are threatened with knife of lies without worrying. Verse 70 tells us the second thing that a person who is learning the words of Tob should do. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. That the hearts of the arrogant people are callous and unfeeling means that their hearts have become dull. They have become dull, like the fat of meat that has become hard. Such a hardening of hearts are the results of consuming a lot of meat of unrighteousness. On the contrary, a person who took in a lot of words of Tob has a good heart and is malleable. He or she delights in the words of Tob. When you eat something delicious, you keep thinking about it. And so, if it's possible, you try to eat it again. Acquire the taste for the words of Tob. Then you will look forward to table laid out with words of Tob. A person who has acquired the taste of words of Tob is someone who does not long for the richness of meat of unrighteousness, but delights in the words of Tob. One of the words that is used a lot these days is YouTube. YouTube is a video platform service provided by a certain company, and its name is a combination of the second person pronoun English you and the tube, which refers to the television brown tube. You can watch YouTube on your handphones. Many people upload videos made by them on YouTube and try to become a popular YouTuber. YouTube becomes the medium through which I communicate about myself to the others, and a channel that broadcasts videos made by me. Then why should we, the children of God, be communicating to others? And through what medium? The noun form of the Hebrew word for good is true. I wish that we would all become a YouTuber who communicates the goodness of God. God of Tob calls us you and wants us to do Tob, to Tob the good. And God wants the goodness of God, Tob, to be declared widely in the world through us. In order for this to happen, we must first learn the words of Tob so that we can be called a YouTuber by God. And in order for us to truly learn the words of Tob, we must accept the hardships that God allows in our lives without trying to avoid them. We must not quit in the middle at the hardship school. When God allows hardships, may you confess like the psalmist, "You have done good to your servant according to your words, O Lord, and it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn of your decrees." Today is a Sunday on which we commemorate 503rd anniversary of the Reformation. The spirit of Reformation is returning to the words. To return to the root of the words means understanding the word Tob and acting on those words. What is the greatest good Tob that God has done? Is it the creation of this world? Or is it the creation of human beings who are good? If not, what is it? The greatest good, Tob, that God has done for us is to allow Jesus Christ, his only Son, to die so that eternal life can be given to us who are condemned to die because of our disobedience. At the center of the word Zabtob, there is Jesus Christ who died and bled in order to save a sinner like me. The reformation that we need today is returning to the words of God, who has done the ultimate tov, good for us, and to truly act on those words. And among those actions, wouldn't the most precious action be to become a YouTuber, an instrument of the Lord who saves persons who are perishing in their sins? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you allowed your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die, bleeding on the cross, in order to save us who were rightly condemned to death, and for giving us eternal life. May we not forget that the death of our Lord and our salvation are the ultimate good that you have shown us, and come to have ever-deepening knowledge of you. Until now, we had mistakenly thought that you showed us your goodness when we were doing well, we earned well, we ate well, and lived well. We mistakenly thought that you cut off your goodness from us when we lost our jobs, when we failed, lost money, lost a home, lost a person, lost our health, and lost our possessions. But help us not to forget that all these hardships are the good that you allow into our lives. Help us to understand what great benefit it is to us to learn the words of Tob in the school of hardship. By learning the words of Tob in the school of hardship, may we take after your communicable attribute, goodness, and become good persons. May we not become fearful under the knives of lives of the arrogant people and keep the words of Tob. May we not envy the rich meat of unrighteousness, but delight in the words of Tob as we live. May we achieve reformation of our faith in returning to the words, and going further, become a YouTuber of the Lord who saves people perishing in sin. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.